The year turns on a hinge we cannot see. In the old world, the roads were chalk and grit. A man in a marble room wanted a list of names. He wanted to count the bones, to know exactly how much human he owned. So they walked, Joseph with the smell of sawdust in his skin, and Mary carrying a future so heavy it made her ribs ache. They found the town full-bodied and sleeping. It turned its shoulder. It kept its warm hollows for its own, so they took the shadows. Among the patient psalms of animal breath, the word became flesh, not with thunder, but dew new, shivering, small, human. Now the snow settles on the prairie, a new moment in frozen in time. The trucks hum their own kind of lullaby on the highway, and our phones ring, sleigh bells for a digital age. Our church is a small, warm square against the winter blue. The doors are weather-worn and thick with frost. We come in crunching. We shake the year off our boots with the snow. We carry the weight of empty chairs, the ones that stay empty, a different kind of name offering. The cocoa steams, the mittens bloom, the cold begins to let go of our wrists, candles alight. One flame leans toward another, and the wax weeps gladly. The light gathers its courage, the darkness loses its grip. Not all at once, but inch by inch, one voice rises, bent and bright, threading the room with a song that says, "Winter does not get the final word." We will step back out into the snow-sung night, under the very same stars that saw the birth of Christ. And we will go warm into the cold, because we do not go alone. I love poetry, the way that carefully chosen words can push and pull on your emotions and your imagination the way that music does. Like music, the actual experience depends on personal context. It's impossible to create an artistic expression that will be received the same way by everyone who encounters it. And that is part of the magic of Christmas. We share the same story, but we experience it as individuals. Parents will relate to the experience of Mary and Joseph differently than kids will, or those without children of their own. The Middle Eastern setting of an exhausting, dust-laden journey by foot in the warm part of the year will resonate differently with people who have similar memories to draw upon. If you've stood inside a livestock enclosure, the smells and sounds of a stable will carry a different weight than for those who have only read about them. I grew up in tropical Australia, where songs like "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas" made no sense at all. Our Christmas traditions involved beaches and barbecues and seafood. My parents, who are still there, they just sent some videos. It's Christmas morning right now, and it is pouring, like monsoonal rain outside. Warm rain with wind. We share the same story, but we experience it as individuals, and that's okay. Everything about the birth of Christ is personal. Before Jesus, we had titles for God, but not a personal name as we understand them. When Moses asked for God's name, the response he got was, "I am who I am." We still don't have a name for the Holy Spirit. But because God became human, we can approach him and talk to him as someone with a human name, Jesus. It wasn't even an unusual name at the time. His name, Yeshua, in the original tongue before the Latinization of the Bible, was the same as Joshua, Josh, a name you'd call your friend, Josh, from the little hamlet of Nazareth out in the country. Tonight, we remember the birth of Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, a child with an ordinary name and an extraordinary but unenviable birth story. A child who grew into a man with an extraordinary but unenviable life story. Hebrews tells us we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tested as we are. Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus does not watch human life from the outside. He knows it from the inside. Jesus bled as humans bleed. He got dry skin. He got itchy. He had sleepless nights. We know that for sure. He got grumpy. We know that for sure. He went through puberty. He might even have picked his nose at some point. He pooped and he peed. It's important to understand that Jesus, fully God, was also, or is also, fully human. Christianity is built on relationships, and relationships can be hard. Our God understands what it is to be human. He understands our discomforts, our longings, and our urges. Before the birth of Jesus, God was not fully known, and humanity's relationship with him was built around tradition and ritual and fear. But that doesn't have to be our relationship with him now. When we pray, we no longer pray to a nameless, inhuman deity. We talk to someone with a name who understands the hardships of being human. Tonight we celebrate not just the birth of Christ, but the beginning of a shared journey, one where God walks with us, one where our struggles, individually and communally, are understood, one where our hope is grounded in presence, not perfection. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we gather this evening to celebrate all that's important about Christmas, to celebrate your coming, your presence among us as a human that we can talk to, as someone who understands what we're going through. Lord, we also gather to thank you for the blessings of community that you've placed in our lives, be it friends or family or our church community. Father, as we round out our church component of this evening, we do so with our eyes on you, recognizing that you are human and you are God, and we worship you as only one who is worthy of our worship deserves. In your name, Heavenly Father, we lift you up this evening. Amen.